First John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your love may be full.
And your joy. That your joy may be full.
Yes. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world.
Thank you. You may be seated, please. Thank you. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer, please? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to Thee this morning through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us, gave Himself for us, and opened the door of access for us into the Holy of Holies, where we can speak face to face with God the Father. We thank Thee for this, Lord. And so we're here this morning to pray. And I have with me this morning, Lord, a long list of names for whom I want to pray. I pray this morning for Meredith Adams and her parents. And I pray, Lord, for Ben Carnes and his family, for Brian, for Jeremy, for Jim, and for Evelyn. I pray also, Lord, for Scott Coaster and his sister, Heather, and her ministry in the South. I pray for Cody Kangas and his friend, Ashley. I remember Elizabeth Martindale, who's with us this morning, and Kevin, her friend. I thank Thee, Lord, for Mark Mayer, and I pray especially that Thou would send into his life a companion who is really loves the Lord and will compliment him in his service for the Lord. I pray for Josh Moberg and Karina. I thank Thee, Lord, for this brother and sister. And I pray for Anna Widgen and for Daniel, for their parents, Brother James and Sister Betty. I pray for David and Michelle Yanga and their father, Ishmael and Ruth, who are with us this morning and honored us with their presence. I pray for Lemuel Yu and his friend Chinya, who came to know the Lord as a Savior here. We thank Thee for Joe and Stephen Beard and for that entire family, that Thy will may be done and wrought in their hearts. Pray for Adam and Abby Heinlein, You know their special needs before thee. I remember Katie, Rob, and Tim, and Pam, her parents. You know the special needs there. I think of Ryan and Dane Hunter and their father who is with us today, and for his wife who is estranged from him. And we pray for their daughter as well, that thy good hand may be upon them. I pray also, Lord, for others for whom we want to pray this morning. For Jean Balakovich, who is with us today, her faithfulness unto the Lord. For Becky Banks and for her children, Janelle, and for Jared. And for Don and Theda Baselock. And for Richard and Bill and Ann Beard, who are with us, and the troubles and difficulties that they have survived over the years. I think of John and Gretchen Ardner, and for Tim and Jennifer Lewis and their children, Olivia and Logan. And I think of the Ardner children, John, Jessica, and Amanda. I want to remember the Barbanks this morning, and for Donovan especially, that he will take a greater interest in the things of the Lord here in this place. And I pray for little Leah, that she may grow in the things of God. I pray for Chuck and Joyce Cartwright, that thy hand of grace may be upon them. Christine Crowner, who used to be with us, we remember her in our prayers. For Mark and Susan Dills and their daughter Sarah, way out in China, we pray for them. For Jeff Dowell and his wife Sin May, as they seek to serve the Lord, we commend them unto thee. For Laura Jacks this morning, and for Bill and Margot Howison and their hands, and for their Bill's father, who's in missionary work. We pray for Betty Duffin, and for Ann English, and for George and Rosie Jordan, for Casey and Rebecca Angus, for Christina Cornelakis, and for Shirley Cornelakis, who's just recently lost her loving husband. We pray for them. I remember also before the May Lucio, who came to us and sought the things of the Lord. We pray for her, Lord, that she may return here and participate with us to the glory and praise of God. I pray for Deborah Marks and for her two children who have recently taken a stand for the Lord. And we pray crazy for that. Pray for Ben and Anna Minot, that thy spirit may attend their lives and testimony. I think of Dr. and Mrs. Nkanga from Balin, Honorine, and their children, Olivia, Daniel, Emma, Joseph, and Deborah, that they will continue to be strong for the Lord. I pray for the Paramalas, Praveen and Joanna, who were with us but went to some other place. We remember them in prayer. For Mary Pine, who's separated from us at Townsley Village. Help her, Lord, we pray, to be strong in the Lord day by day. And for dear Ethel Panero, the same. Gracious Lord, may she know the sweetness of the Lord in the closing years of her life. I think of Alan Kim Poison, for whom we pray regularly, but somehow they don't respond. Touch them, Lord, we pray. For Danielle, Zach, and Elijah, their three precious children. I pray for Matt and Naomi Postiff and their two children, and we pray thy blessing upon them and their upcoming service for the Lord in this place. I remember Dwayne and Kim Reed and the two children, Ashley and Alexis, and also for the daughter who works for Delta Airlines. I remember Dan and Karen Reeves and their children, their two boys, David and Joshua, and their testimony for the Lord. For Jean and Ann Renfro, I commend them unto thee, O God. And for Mike and Susan Scarfo, for Elsie Smith, for Bill and Andrea Smith, and their two children, or three children, Hayden and Hope and Carter. I pray for Tony Urban and the difficult things which have come into his life. We commend them unto thee, blessed God. I pray for Joyce Troy, that thy hand of blessing may be upon her, and that the blessing of the Lord may be her portion. I thank thee for James and Betty Widgen, who have served the Lord so faithfully through the years. I pray for Mary Ann Winter, whose parents were so faithful in our fellowship and friendship. For Vicki Witten and for her husband Henry, we pray for them. For Bernice and Dee Dee Worthington, I commend them unto thee. I pray especially for our sister Bernice, as she has concerns about having to have some surgery, that thy will may be done in her life. I pray also, Lord, that thy good hand may be upon Danae Vine, who came amongst us. I think of our sister Yoon, who her husband went to be with the Lord. And today she's in California trying to sort out some of the things there. We ask thy blessing upon her. I want to thank thee too, Lord, for some special people here this morning, for our sister Beatrice and her husband Bob Charleston. We ask thy blessing upon them, O God. And for Ramel and her husband Roger, thank thee for these faithful people who sought to be friends with us here in this building. And we pray, I thank thee for my son, our son David, who's with us today. I thank thee for this, Lord. Thou art good and gracious and loving and kind. And for others who we may not know or didn't take notice of them, but whoever they are who need prayer amongst us, and for many others whom we're not praying for, but are there on our hearts for thee. And every day we have the opportunity to pray. But today I take this special opportunity to remember all these dear friends who are seeking to serve the Lord. For those amongst us who are not saved, oh God, I pray that thou bring them down to their knees and cause them to turn to the Lord and be saved and know the blessing of the grace of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pray for Johnny Dew and his wife, who used to be amongst us, who were faithful in the early days of this ministry with us. We thank thee, Lord, for them, and I pray for thy blessing upon them and their children for thy glory and praise. Lord, there are perhaps some others for whom we should pray. Forgive us for not mentioning their names, but cause us, Lord, to be reminded day in and day out the people for whom we should pray. Like Samuel said, he was not going to fail in his remembrance of God's people, although they had been rebellious against the Lord. And he said, God forbid that I should fail to remember in your prayer. And cause each one of us, Lord, to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, and seeking to magnify Jesus Christ, who has loved us so much that he died for us and gave his precious blood in our behalf. Thank thee, Lord, for the privilege to pray this morning. We pray for our many missionaries and friends, and for the abortion problems, and for the people who are behind iron bars, not because of anything they've done, but because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that thou bring peace and quietness in the world so that the gospel may go forth in power and blessing. Thank thee, Lord, for the privilege this morning to read thy word as our brother did, and now to pray, to seek the face of the one who loved us so much. We thank thee. Bless the remainder of this service as Naomi sings for us a little bit just now. The work that we've done with the children later on, for those people who are in the nursery, we commit it all to thee, Lord. This is thy work, and we just pray that thou would prosper it unto the praise and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us and washed us from our sins in his own precious blood. I ask all these favors and requests through his precious and worthy name, with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. The announcements are for you in the bulletin. Just attend to them as the Lord desires you. There's a meal for those of you who want to stay right after this service. And for those who have worked hard to make it possible, please make them happy by being there in the will of the Lord. And tonight we gather around the table of the Lord a great opportunity for you to worship our precious Savior in his own appointed way. We invite you to come. Thank you very much. All right. We'll ask the brethren now to come and receive your offerings. As you want to give to the Lord, as you have been prospered of the Lord, give to him, not to this church, but to him. Thank you very much.
Shall we stand, please, and sing the doxology? I would like to ask our brother Thurman Hunter to lead us in our prayer, a brother who is with us for many years and still is a friend indeed. God bless you, my brother.
Heavenly Father, we just like to take this opportunity to just say thank you. The simple phrase, but it goes so deep into our souls. It's a word, Lord, for words that don't adequately express our gratitude for what you willingly did at the cross of Calvary. Lord, do we think what it cost you? Your beloved Son, in whom you were well pleased and nothing but pleased, was given to become the awful sin that we know we will. Lord, let us not forget that as we go through our days on this planet. Let us be ever mindful of the love of God and how now through your Holy Spirit has been shed abroad in our hearts. And if we love you, Lord, help us to keep your commandments, to fear you and keep your commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We ask you to bless these services today, and just let your word do that which you have said unto us. We'll thank you. And we'll praise you. And we look forward to seeing you in peace when our sojourn has been completed. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, please. Naomi Post is going to sing for us at this time, please.
Life has purpose now it never had before. There is meaning to each day and even more. For a joy and a peace I can't explain is mine. Since I found new life in Christ my Lord divine. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. I can go directly to the Lord in prayer. He has told me I may boldly enter there, and he listens as his promises I plead. I find mercy there and grace for every need. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. And the hope of heaven's glories thrills me full. With Christ forevermore, I know that is why the things of earth are loosely wrought. My eternal riches better far than gold. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. It is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled.
You felt that was the last one, but it's number 13 on the list that I have at home on our disc, and I played about 3 times. I won't belabor the point this morning, but please, one more verse and one more chorus. Yeah.
Life has purpose now it never had before. There is meaning to each day and even more. For a joy and peace I can't explain is mine. Since I found you. new life in Christ, my Lord divine. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified forever, reconciled. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified forever, reconciled.
Thank you. That was great. That's wonderful. Now we're going to sing one more hymn, please, Brother David. And then the children are dismissed, if there are any children here. Okay, and then we'll go to the Word of God. Thank you.
Turn to Hymn 421, Wonderful Words of Life. Hymn 421, if you'll stand with me. We'll sing this together.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me honor their courtesy, wonderful words of life. Words of knowledge and mercy, teach me faith and purity. Wonderful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Failed to acknowledge some very precious people amongst us today. Erica Hunter is here with us. Thank you, dear, for coming this morning. We appreciate that. And I guess everybody over here belongs here. But where is your husband? Is he gone up to been out of the country or something? All right. Well, just tell him that we missed him this morning. And so when he's not here, we call him out of that. Welcome back from Mexico, Brother Jeff. Nice to have you with us. And our dear friends, Mr. and Mrs. Alexander, would you two guys stand up, please? Some people don't know who you are, but these are the people who carry on the ministry upstairs. They have a lovely school, and they've been very prosperous here with us for how many years? Is it 23 years or something like that? Yeah. And I just trust that she may have the right and privilege to stay here for until she decides to close up. We just thank you very much. You've been a very faithful couple. And when the water went down, I could call Ramel and say, hey, will you do something about that? You wouldn't do that with people you're renting to normally. So we've had a very happy experience. Oh, we got off to a shaky business, but we soon settled that one out. And we thank you very, very much. Yeah. And for their son, Kenny, right now is slipping. What's your boy? He's Dan, yes. Damn it. Yeah. All right. And then I almost had the Charlestons with us again this morning. Please, Dan, you mean so much to us. Come on, Bob. I mean, yeah. Yeah, thank you very, very much. We appreciate it so much. And then, of course, Dr. and Mrs. Yanga, some of you may not know them. Please, would you stand up, brother? Stand taller, please. Okay. All right. Thank you, brother. Yeah, we've been blessed by their children being a part of our ministry, and we thank God for them. And I guess, last but not least, I'm so pleased that our son, David, is with us. He's honored us because last week he was with Tiger Woods, and this week he's with us. At any rate, he was out in New Zealand with that. He flies all over the world, and I'm so glad he put his plane down in Detroit so he could come here this morning. Dave, come on, stand up. Some of these people don't know you. You see, between you and Thurman Hunter, they wouldn't recognize you what you used to be. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yeah. All right. I want to read two verses that are not in connection with the ministry this morning, and then I'm going to ask our son, David, to lead us in a word of prayer before I turn to the Word of God. The two verses are one which came to my attention many, many years ago as a young man, Acts chapter 20, verse 20. And we used to say, are you a 2020 Christian? Acts chapter 20, verse 20. You might remember that, Sue. Acts 20, verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. What a wonderful text. You might want to claim that for yourself. Be it Acts 20:20 Christian to serve the Lord. Put it in your book if you haven't had opportunity to do so before. The other passage I would like to read is from Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Precious portion of the Word of God. Verse number 8 down to verse number 11. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment or discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. What a precious passage. May the Lord make that true in each one of our hearts until he comes. Dave, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Thank you.
Our dear Lord, Father, I just want to come before you today, Lord, just in that last reading. You sent your Son to die on Calvary's cross to show us grace and truth, and most definitely, your love. And I pray as the word is spoken today, they'll be used for your honor, for your glory. And the words that are brought forth today, I just pray, Lord, use my dad in a great way, that your word will be brought forth, and that your love will more than ever abound. I pray for the continuing ministry here as well. And Lord, that it will be a faithful ministry showing grace, truth, and most definitely your love. I pray for all these things now in your soul and precious name with thanksgiving.
Amen. Amen. You know, Vicki, I forgot to ask you to recite a portion of Scripture. You got any from Hebrews that you can give us? Can you give us the 9th chapter? Would you like to come up here so they can see? I'm sorry, I didn't call you. But she's going to say the whole book of Hebrews when she goes down to Missouri in a few days. Thank you very much.
Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubim of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest in earth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sins by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Amen. I don't know about you, but the pulpit is a little bit moist, but if I were standing there trying to do this thing, I think I would be much like most of you, just wondering what the next verse was going to be. But she says it with such a meaning and with such a blessing. Thank you very, very much, sister. You have blessed our congregation by being with us. Yeah. Well, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning for thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and for the privilege to gather in his name in this place. We thank thee for the hymns we've sung. We thank thee for the prayers which have been offered. We thank thee for the scriptures which have been read and quoted. We praise thee for all this. We thank thee for the beautiful music that has been provided for us. This is truly a blessing from the Lord. And we give him all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. We thank thee for each one who's come this morning. And we pray, Lord, that the word of God will be a blessing to each one, to the glory and praise of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose matchless name we pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. If you have your Bible, will you turn to Hebrews chapter 9, which our sister quoted? Hebrews chapter 9. I had hoped to finish off chapter 9, but I decided that I would just take two more verses and leave the next for you to study in yourself. I do want to point out to you, though, that so that if for some reason you haven't noticed this, that in verse number 24, we had the word now to appear in the presence of God for us. Then we have in verse number 26, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And then you have the third appear in verse number 28. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There are three appearances. You don't want to miss those. The first one is what he does now. And we studied that last Lord's Day in the will of God. He is now interceding for us. He takes his place in the very presence of God. The appearance that's mentioned in verse number 26 is what refers to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the third appearance is what is going to be when he comes the second time, not to deal with sin, but to bring us to ultimate salvation in Christ. So if you notice those words, it would be a help to you in putting some hooks for your thoughts about the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'd just like to run down some of the things which are very, very important for us for today's ministry. The two verses I want to speak about are in verse 25 and 26. Allow me to read those for you. I'm afraid I could not quote them like our sister did. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You know, it's just amazing that what we've studied a little bit about this matter, when the law was enjoined, as it says in verse number 20, it was with blood. And I suggested then when we studied that Josephus was the one who suggested that it was with blood as well as what the Bible says as with oil. But there is a place where the Bible does say with blood. And I want to reread that for you. It's Exodus chapter 24. So that it's not only Josephus who says this, but the Bible says itself that not only with oil, but with blood. It's Exodus chapter 24. We read these verses, but let me read them again for you, please. Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, verse 4, and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he set young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood, there it is, and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. So we do have a biblical reference as well as a historian who says that there was blood that was offered at this particular time. I would say that we just have to be careful that we don't substitute death for blood. When God says blood, he means blood. The Hebrew word is dam. Now don't misunderstand that one. But dam is the word for blood in the Hebrew. And God has definitely indicated that our relationship with himself is established on the basis of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Remember that. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. His blood is alone efficacious and able efficiently to give us eternal life through His own precious blood. Never back down on that. Never just, you know, clench your fist and say, well, I'm not going to say that word. It is. As I said a few weeks ago, we've always been accused of having a butcher shop religion. Well, it is that way because His blood, He spilled His blood. He spilled His blood for us. He poured it out. And only through that blood are we redeemed from our sins. I'd like to also to mention that this was exactly what was taking place on the Day of Atonement. I won't go back to that, but Leviticus chapter 16, which our brother Jordan read for us, is filled with this very, very important thing. But David, will you put that thing on, please? I just want to remind you that in front of the Holy of Holies, you see that away on the left-hand side, just in front of the Holy of Holies is the altar of incense. The sacrifice was on the altar of incense, and then the blood was taken inside and put on the mercy seat on that little place that I have a little box in there. But it was on the altar of incense where the blood was shed and then taken inside. And this is what we have in the scriptures, that the purification of the believer, Israelite believer, was through because of the blood. No question about that. There had to be the shed blood. And also, if I can point this out to you again, please, that the earthly things of verse number 23 and 24, where the heavenly things come out, the earthly things were cleansed by blood, which was shed on that altar of incense just outside the Holy of Holies. There's no other way to do this, but what really grabbed my soul was what we closed with last Sunday in the will of the Lord. Verse number 24, that Jesus Christ is now in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God, and then those last two words, for us. What an incredible thing, for us. The whole of history was focused on getting the Lord to that one place that He could appear in heaven. He appeared in heaven because His work was done. And He went into the Holy of Holies, the high priest did, because His work was done. He went to say, here I am. I've got the blood. It's all finished now. And with a finished work, John chapter 19, verse 30, it is finished, He said. And because He said that, we can just be thankful to God that the work had been done. Then you have this wonderful fact to say, He appeared in the presence of the Father for us. Right now, that's where He is. The Lord Jesus is right now in heaven for us. That's too much to grab. I think I mentioned this to you last Lord's Day, or sometime this week to somebody, that the surgeon who said he's going to perform the operation for my wife said, this one's going to help, and that one's going to do this, and this, and this, and this. And he said, and I get all the glory. I'll be the guy who does the work, and they'll all say, he did it. And won't worry about those other people. The nurses, the technologists, the PAs, they just don't count. But I get the glory. And this is what the Lord did. Can you imagine? He did this whole business for us. That's too much to take, man. Yeah. I mean, who are we? Sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. We got nothing to be boastful about. And we can't claim anything. We just rejoice in what God has done for us. He did it for us. And the Greek phrase is huper, on our behalf. What an incredible thing to think that the Lord from all eternity came into this life, was born
in the Bethlehem, went through life, suffered, and he did the whole business for me. For me, goodness sake. That's enough to make you shout like an old-time Methodist. That's marvelous. Just we praise the Lord for that. So don't lose this for us. And that led me to believe that it might be helpful to just distinguish what the Lord is doing for us. There are two precious passages, one in Hebrews and one in 1 John, which tell us what he's doing. Look at the one in Hebrews chapter 7, please. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Hebrews 7 and verse number 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. You remember, this is from my old days. They used to say, we got saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. It showed our great sinfulness and his wonderful grace to take us from the gutter up to the utter. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So here it is. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. That's incredible, my brother. I took the opportunity last night during my night hours. I said, what am I going to do tomorrow? Who's going to pray? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Usually when we're, for you ladies and for you fellows who don't come into the office where I pray with you men, I try to see who's there and say, well, now, let's see, who could lead us in prayer? Who could do this or who could do that? It's kind of a last-minute arrangement, but it's okay. I think I've done enough to invite the brethren to participate. But during the night, I said, no, I think I'm going to pray for all the people. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to bring the book that we use around our kitchen table, and I'm going to pray for them. And I forgot this gal this morning, but she wasn't on the student list that I got. But I tried to remember the people who were on the student list as well. And we do that. And isn't it wonderful that the Lord is in heaven praying for you? He's praying for you. I can't tell you the number of people have asked me in my lifetime, will you pray for me? Or will you come to my house and have a prayer with me? When I've gone to the hospital, I always read the Bible and pray with people. I don't just tickle their toes and say, hi, goodbye. I read the Bible. I pray with them. And I think that's so wonderful. But what is our prayer compared with his? He intercedes. He stands in our behalf and prays to the Father for us. Do you want to know, give an illustration of what kind of things he does? Will you turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22? Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. This, I think, is absolutely amazing. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. To illustrate intercession. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. And it's verse number 31. The Lord said to Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, come on. We all know we're not perfect. And we have some problems. And that's the work of Satan to get us with our sin nature to respond to him. But, verse 32, thank God for the buts in the Bible. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Do you understand that, my brother, as a believer? That God's Son is in heaven interceding for you. But, you know, it's as if Satan gets up on the stand and says, but now this fellow Raymond Sachs, he's a scoundrel. And then the wonderful thing is that the Son of God stands up and says, but, oh, glory to God. It's a wonderful to be saved. That's why I like what she's saying to this one. It's wonderful to be a Christian. Yeah. Wonderful to be justified. Yeah. The Lord is so wonderful. But don't you like this one? But when thou art converted, when you change, you will strengthen your brethren. You try to get somebody who's committed some terrible sin, and you say, well, he's gone. There's nothing left with him. The Lord says, hey, wait a minute. I prayed for him. And he's going to be strengthened. When he's strengthened, he's going to help the brethren, the very people who say, hey, you can't be one of us. You know, this is wonderful. This is fantastic. Intercession by the Lord Jesus Christ is more than just what you see sometimes in the pictures of the Lord Jesus praying in Garden of Gethsemane. He's in heaven praying. This man is just too much for you to take sometimes. You know, being a Christian is more than going to church or giving your money or being a good gal or a good boy or something like that. There's more than that. There's wanting to enjoy the glories of a wonderful Savior. And you got to enter into this, my brother and sister. So intercession is in verse number 25 of Hebrews chapter 7. But let me say this. Because we are sinners and we do things wrong, the point is that the Lord is praying for us before we sin. But when we get into trouble, He doesn't abandon us and say, well, look at the crazy idiot. He says, no, I still love him and I still pray for him. Those of you who are parents, you know what I'm talking about. You never give up to your kids. You never do. They can be louses. Is that the way to say it? They can be, dreadful, but you always say, but they're my boy. They're my daughter. They belong to me. They came from my own life. No. And I don't know any genuine, decent parent who would turn away from a child, even in the darkest hour. And that's what the Lord does for us. I prayed for you. I mean, after what did Peter do, the crazy guy? He denied the Lord. And the Lord predicted it. And he says, but I prayed for you. Just thank the Lord for that. Now, what happens when a person does commit sin despite the Lord's prayers? Then we have what we call advocacy. That's the passage that our brother read this morning. Will you turn there? 1 John chapter 2. If you want to know about advocacy, you want to talk to Betty Widgeon. She'll tell you all the story about that. And maybe Brother James will give you some insights into that. 1 John chapter 2. My little children. I like that. Isn't it wonderful what the Lord calls his little kids? I was noticing Becca out there with Taylor. And I don't know whether Taylor was watching or not, but the mother was sure smiling at her. And that's what we do with our little children. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. I didn't tell you that you got a problem, therefore you're going to sin. Go on out and do what you want. But he said, I write to you that you sin not. But if you do sin, listen, I haven't abandoned you. I go as an advocate to the Father for you. I'll say, but Lord, the Father, I died for him. See? So this is after your sin. Now that may be a trouble to you. Before your sin, he's praying for you. But if you do sin, he doesn't abandon you. He still prays for you. That's terrific. Do you know what we call that doctrine? The eternal security of the believer. Totally secure. Before and after. You know, you see pictures sometimes about a house before and after it was painted or something like that. Well, we have the before and afters too. Many befores, because he always prays for us, and many afters, because we do a lot of sinning. We're a bunch of strange people. We never seem to learn. But the Lord is so faithful and gracious and kind. I'm glad my boy is here this morning.
Yeah, the Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows them who put their trust in Him. No wonder He intercedes. But, and then there is an advocate. Thank the Lord. Not that you're going to have to go and shake down the walls and try and find one. He's there. That's the wonderful thing about it. And you want to rest in this wonderful truth. God knows. Nothing this truth can dim. He always gives the best to those that are charged with Him. Rest in Him. What a wonderful Savior. I could cry all the time about stuff like this. See, the trouble is that sometimes spiritual truth doesn't move us the way it should. But we need to be tender and responsive to what God in His mercy and grace has provided for us in His precious Son. This is more than putting a hat on and a coat and going to church. This morning, I grabbed my fedora for the first time this winter. And my wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm knocking down all the boxes." She said, "I'll clean it up after you." I said, "I don't have time." But she says, "You look pretty smart with that hat on." Well, you know, sometimes as we do, we dress up, you know, and say, "Here I is." Well, come on. You're nobody, and I'm nobody. But we're sinners saved by grace. And we need the praying power of the Savior, and we need the advocating power of the Spirit of the Savior. I share that with you. This is, by the way, in theology, we refer to this as the session of the Lord Jesus. His session. He's there in the heavens, occupying that place and doing these things. That is called His session. Put it down in your vocabulary and just be reminded that you have an intercessor and an advocate because He's in session in heaven for you. Isn't that wonderful? He's in session for me. He's in the courtroom of heaven defending my case and taking my cause. Praise the Lord. Now I want to just, in the few moments that are left with me, to go back to Hebrews chapter 9 and pick up what verses 25 and 26 have to say. Because what they're doing is comparing His appearance for sacrifice for us. And these verses contrast the high priest on the earth with the high priest in the glory. Notice, "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others." This is a different situation altogether. The high priest on earth went every year. That's what it says. But the Lord, "nor yet that he should offer himself often." The often and the every year are to be compared, contrasted. It's different. And that's why it says, "nor yet." It's different. It's not the same. And what was His purpose in doing this? Verse 25 says, "that He should offer Himself." I like that, don't you? He didn't come and offer a goat or a cow or some other thing. He offered Himself. Praise the Lord for that. He offered Himself. But now, it doesn't say that He's to offer Himself often, as the high priest did. "For then must He often have suffered." Will you get the connection, please? The offering and the suffering are different. The suffering came first. No question about it. And then He appeared, verse number 24. But this is a different suffering. "For then He must have suffered since the foundation of the world." Would He have to go and keep on doing it over and over and over again? The high priest had to do that every year. But He didn't have to do that. But now once in the end of the world has He appeared. This appearance in verse 26 has to do with His appearance at the cross.
whereas the one in verse number 24 has to do with his appearance in heaven for us. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You've heard this one, haven't you? He died for the penalty of our sin. He died for the power of our sin. And he died for the presence of our sin. The penalty has to do with what he did in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. He died for me. The power of sin has to do with Romans chapter 6. He died to deliver me from the awful constraints of saying, I must sin. 1 John chapter 2 says, if you do sin, but I write to you that you sin not. So you can't say, well, I have to sin, because he has provided by himself the sacrifice so that we would not sin. So he saved us from the penalty of sin, which would take us to hell, and the power of sin, that it would be grabbing us night and day. I don't have to be that kind of person. And the third one, he's going to save us from the presence of sin. Someday he's going to take us to glory. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, he's conformed us unto his image. He's making us like himself. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, someday we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hey, if you think I'm a bad guy, just wait till I get there. If your friend next to you says, oh, you know, he's not so for one of after all. Oh, yes, just wait. Wait for the unveiling of the saints of God in glory. There's a better day coming, brother. Yeah, a wonderful day. And, well, it's not like we sing, maybe today. How do we sing? Maybe today my Lord will come for me. Maybe today from sin I shall be free. Maybe today, I forgot the words, the Savior to see. Maybe today. Jesus will come and I will go home. Maybe today. Yeah. We're going to be like him. And so then we'll be different people altogether. Today we're sinners saved by grace. And we take the word of God and use it to cleanse our lives and work with it. But someday, boy, it's going to be fantastic. And that's what it's stated. Verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation, but now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away, to get rid of the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin by the sacrifice of himself. Personal sacrifice. Do you remember that passage in John's Gospel, chapter 10? Let me give you this one passage, please, before we separate one from another. John's Gospel, chapter 10. That's a marvelous passage. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Verse number 18, or verse 17, I'm sorry. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. He gave himself. Think about that over and over again, my friend. I took a handkerchief out of the drawer today. A clean one. Smells nice. And you know why I thought so much about that handkerchief? Because I saw my wife. I put the ironing board up for her. She said, you want to do something? So she was ironing handkerchiefs. My drawer was almost empty. And so I got a clean handkerchief because somebody herself did it. Oh boy. You just better be wise that I use this handkerchief with a tender care. And that's what, you know, you stop and think about the fact. He gave himself. He appeared himself on the cross for you. No substitute, no goat, no ox, no nothing. He died for you. He appeared. Not often, but once, just once. There is not a repetition of the work of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, but there's a repetition of in glory interceding for us. That appearance of verse 24, over and over again. How many times did he pray for you? Did you ever count him? How many times did he advocate for you? Did you ever count him? Oh boy. That'll bury your pride. Put it right down. But this one time that he died for us, he only did it once. Thank the Lord it was only once. But he did it. Blessed be his name. Oh, I'm so glad to be a Christian, aren't you? I trust you are. What else do you want to be? Don't be a sinner that's on his way to hell. Be a sinner saved by grace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this wonderful privilege to share some of the good things of the Lord with one another. We thank thee for our high priest, who was after the order of Melchizedek and not after the Levites. We thank thee for this, Lord. We praise thee that he ever lives to make intercession for us. He is the one who advocates for us. He is the one who died for us. He did everything for us. And we thank thee that he annulled sin for us. The penalty, the power, the presence, it's all taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing else, and no one else can do it for us. Oh, it's wonderful, Lord, to be a Christian. We thank thee. We praise thee. And we just ask that these lives of ours will reflect the blessing of the Lord and the glory of the Lord and the joy of the Lord until we see the Lord face to face. We thank thee, dear Lord, for the privilege to share together this morning. And I pray that there is someone here this morning who's not saved, who doesn't know the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus Christ, that when we sing this last hymn, he will respond and say, "Hey, I want to be saved. I want to confess Jesus my Savior." And we pray, Lord, that that person will come and do so publicly, and we'll thank thee for it. And for the rest of us who do know thee, cause, Lord, that inside of our hearts there will be the renewal of appreciation for what God has done for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, hear us, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. I wonder if we could sing our last hymn, which is hymn number 62. Nor silver nor gold hath obtained my...